Welcome to Becoming the Ultimate Coach. I'm the Doc. This is the Doc. And this is part three of our four-part series, The Root Cause of Behavior. So understanding this has changed my method of coaching, which leads to higher compliance, better results, and less frustrations for myself and clients. So Dr. J, what's the science behind this?
Well, I always like to tell people the first thing we want to do is just understand how most behaviors function. And it's a little less about the willpower, the motivation, the compliance, all of those words. They're facets of it. But the reality is that behavior doesn't persist unless it's reinforced. So this, of course, includes the behaviors that we don't like, that we ourselves exhibit, or we see others struggle with. And you know, and you know you've done it, right? You watch somebody do something and go, why do they keep doing that? Like, they're miserable, or they don't feel good afterwards, or just whatever. But somewhere along the lines, it's serving a purpose. And usually it has something to do with along the lines of like a coping strategy or a distractor or just a pleasure, even if it's a short-term pleasure, not a long-term pleasure. So the research typically talks about that there's four basic root causes. And again, it just helps our brain categorize this. There's always a continuum on everything. Escape, attention, tangible, and sensory. And we've talked about escape and attention, so I think we're going to move to tangible today.
Yeah, so we like to use we call it EATS model. And I like to use that because when I'm working with clients, I usually I'm sitting down, we're having the conversations, we went over goals, we went over the big caloric offenders, we went over like how we're tracking this stuff, and now we're trying to figure out, okay, what's a good replacement for this unhealthy behavior? And I just write out EATS on the whiteboard. And then we talk about what they're doing and then which one it lines up with. And different days, even if it's the same thing, might be different things. And we've talked about alcohol in the last two, and we're going to hit at this one today too. So tangible is the one that we're diving in today. So when it comes to tangible, how does alcohol serve that root desire, and how does that all work out?
Yeah, so, you know, tangible is what it sounds like. It's like a thing, something that I can define. And typically it's under the notion of something I deserve. Mm-hmm. I deserve a treat. I deserve something special. I work hard. I deserve this. And as we know, we all like to spend our money and efforts on different things. But the reality is what is it that feels good to that person or feels like a treat? And so, for example, when we take alcohol, like recently, and maybe this has been going on forever and I'm just paying attention to it, but I see like bourbons, like the big topic. And so people have these bourbon collections and things like that. And it's like, oh, I got to have this special bourbon. Or you go out and people have a very specific tequila that they want, whether they're drinking that straight or the margaritas, all of those kind of things. So and you see alcohol, like liquor marketing too, like the bottles are getting more beautiful and cool. And I mean, I'm not a big drinker of some of that stuff, but the bottles are pretty, pretty cool looking. Yeah. So it feels special. It's that thing. And so sometimes we just need that treat. It's a sense of reinforcement. And for some people, or sometimes people might reinforce me, but sometimes just having something, and we all get this, it's like retail therapy. It's like, I want something and it makes me feel better. And so it's no different with alcohol.
And I like to break this down. If we're looking at like days of the week. So we talked about escape, and a lot of times escape is, it can be any day, but a lot of times I see with a client, it's like during the week. So it's like, all right, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm having a couple of glasses of wine for that kind of escape. And then Friday comes around and I have that good bottle of bourbon because I deserved it because I worked hard. And then Saturday I'm going out drinking with friends. So it's more of that attention that we talked to last time. So kind of dive into like the differences and how to break that down and how to figure out like which one is which and how do you even have that conversation with clients?
Yeah. Well, the first thing to think about is even just, and I always suggest this to any coach or anybody working with it, think about yourself. Like, is there something that every day of the week you need a tangible, you need a treat, or does it kind of ebb and flow, or does it depend? And to your point, we tend to have tendencies around, so one behavior can serve multiple root causes. So we have to ask people, you know, if drinking alcohol, let's say, is your big caloric offender, and that's why we're having this conversation, because of course we want to practice within our scope, so if there's a bigger issue, we need to refer out or encourage that person. But if we're talking about the alcohol drinking because of that caloric offender kind of component and towards a goal that they have, then it's really asking about sort of when are you doing it? What are you feeling? Those types of things. And like you said, it might be during the week, and it's just escape from the day. The Saturdays or Sundays or the football games or whatever, it's a connection with people. I'm tailgating, I'm doing those kind of things. but what's Friday night? Does it feel different to you? Yeah, it does. Or wait, you drink wine during the week, but then Fridays is bourbon night. Why is it bourbon night? Yep. And so if you just ask some of those questions, tell me more about it. Does it feel the same when you do it on these days and this day? And is it any old bourbon? Or is it any old whatever? And if they like, no, there's this one in particular that I really like, or that's the night I have my expensive stuff, then you can kind of see that connection for that tangible. And then what we want to do is think about, okay, maybe not every Friday night do we have to have that super fancy bourbon. Is there something else that will serve that purpose, that I have a treat, I deserve this, as opposed to that particular caloric offender?
So what do you see as good replacements for that? So if someone was like, it's that Friday, and so instead of have the bourbon, like, how would you get into that?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I do is I ask people what hobbies they have, or especially if we've been working with them on escape, like what do you do for fun kind of thing, or encouraging those hobbies. And whatever hobby they might have, I might ask them, like, what's the next thing that you would like? Or what's if you like to kind of walk your dog or tool around the neighborhood and the weather's getting cold, like, what else would you need? Like, do you need a different jacket? Do you need something small, different gloves? I mean, just even something basic like that. Or if you have another hobby, like a sporting activity or an outdoor one, or I know you've got a client that loves to play guitar. Is there better picks? Is there better strings? Is there a next level of lesson that you would like? And so I really just encourage them to think about that hobby and then almost even plan for it or look forward to it. Because, and basically it's retail therapy in some realm or fashion. But what's cool about that is the reinforcement that I need a treat, in particular with tangible, that's one that you can build up. You can look forward to it. And we all know that when we're looking forward to something, it has that increased sense of something versus if something's just handed to you. And so helping people think about that way, get excited about that, and kind of have a list of different things that maybe cost the same or if budget's not an issue, just that makes it feel special and a treat.
So another way I see people do this, and I want you to dive into this, is like, so during the week, so we got 5 days where people will really like, you know, eat clean food, be in a calorie deficit, it's really good. And then the weekends are like, well, since I did so good for the 5 days, I deserve this on the weekend, so I'll just eat and drink whatever. Do you feel like that falls in the same boat?
Oh, for sure. And so, you know, and you and I have talked about this before, of that if that's starting to happen, it also signals to me that Monday through Friday, we're feeling deprived. No. We're feeling, and so A, I want to mitigate that a little bit, and maybe we're moving slower, but I want to avoid those big extremes, right? Because otherwise then you feel guilty about eating whatever, then you're going into deprivation mode mentally, those types of things. And then the other part of it is saying, why do you deserve that food? Is that the only thing you deserve? Like, and I'll literally ask that question, like, is drinking or eating what you want the only way that you deserve? And what's interesting about food is sometimes, you know, we have childhood memories or things like that's a treat. But other times food is related to our income level. So when we're a young adult and we're living with three roommates and we barely have any money, and then there's a nice dinner or an extra meal or something, like that feels like that was like, you know. And so then our brains start to pair that. So then it's just helping people think about other things that they can and want to enjoy.
Yeah, and the way we like to break this down is it's not saying like any of like the alcohol is bad or the food is bad. It's just kind of lining up with, okay, what are your goals? How are you trending in that direction? And if you're not, then we start diving into some of these unhealthy behaviors. Because like we talk a lot to clients of like, you know, food and alcohol can enhance experience. It's your anniversary with your wife. It's your kid's birthday party. Like enjoy those things. Just also kind of understand like if it's something that you're not trending toward your goals, you might need to step back and see like, okay, which one is it? And we talk about this EATS model. We went over escape. We went over attention, and this one we went over tangible. So check in for the next one. We're going to dive into sensory for part 4.